tonight or preach to us what the Lord's laid on my heart. Let's look in the book of Matthew tonight, chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus here, the words of Christ, 6 and 33. Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray and ask God. I'd like to preach tonight, and stay with me, you'll see what I'm talking about. I'd like to preach tonight on the Trinity of the modern church. The Trinity of the modern church. Here in 6 and 33, we find Christ is, he's in the start of his public ministry as the Son of God, as a what some known as a prophet, a preacher. At the Sermon on the Mount, no doubt probably the most famous sermon that's ever been preached, the Sermon on the Mount. We learn so much from that sermon. If you could, you could take that one sermon and live it, and you could make it to heaven by the one sermon that Christ preached on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's preaching here, or teaching rather, whatever you'd want to call it, and we see he's dealt with the teaching on swearing and on forgiveness and murder and anger, the salt of the earth, temptation, divorce, fasting, don't worry, on and on. He's teaching his disciples and the ones that's gathered together. He's teaching them a great deal about life, and the majority of it up to this point about anger and murder and forgiveness. He's teaching them how to treat other people and how to deal with mankind. But here it comes on down, and he begins to talk to us about God and how we are to treat God. And he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We see in the latter portion of chapter number 6, he begins to deal with diversions that would take our eyes off of the goal, that would take our eyes off of Christ as we would begin to worry. He talks about the food and the raiment, the clothing, the shelter, and all of these things, and he's wanting us to get our eyes and our mind not focused on that, but to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as I begin to pray about this, it seemed like the Lord laid a few things on my heart that have become diversions in the modern church world in which we live in. We know the Trinity as the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We've preached it, we've heard it, we've taught it, we've defied the other doctrines with the Bible, that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But I'm afraid in the hour in which we live that the modern church world as a whole and is in independent churches, Brother James, we've come and it seems like a new Trinity has crept in among us, and the Lord laid this on my heart. I didn't read it anywhere, but the Lord laid it on my heart that Trinity of revenue, of recreation, and religion has crept in among us. Stay with me. It may be a little different. It probably will be. But I'd like to preach to you tonight on the Trinity of the modern church. I want us to look first at revenue, that material gain, as Christ here in chapter 6 and verse number 33. He begins to deal with material things, Brother Daniel. He begins to deal with food and clothing and raiment and shelter, the things that we must have to survive. And he realizes, Brother James, the psalmist David, I believe it was, says he has considered our frame, that we are but flesh. And Christ realizes that we are a worrying people. I talked to Brother Larry Wayne the other day about some things, and I said, it may not bother you like it would bother me. You may not be a worrier. He said, no, I'm a worry ward. I am a worrier. And I know all of you. I have for a while, and I know we have some worriers among us tonight. And Christ realized that. He realized that we are a people that are human. We are fleshly. We know that we can't see the future. We're not omniscient. We're not omnipresent. So when there's things in our hands that we don't know the future of it, we're going to worry about it. Whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's material, whatever the case may be, we're a people that are going to worry about things. The majority of us are worrying about things that we have no control over, worrying about things that if we do worry about it, it's not going to change the situation. Christ even said, is there any among you that by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? He's letting them know there's nothing you can do by worrying. There's nothing you can do by fretting yourself about it and stressing out and worrying. And he's dealing with a situation that we're going to worry. It's human nature. I've been preached to before, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. But the fact of the matter is that we're going to worry. As long as I'm human, Brother Earl, there's things that's going to worry me. There's things that's going to cause me to be fearful. And Christ is dealing with that. Take no thought of it. Don't worry about it. And I believe here that him writing to this, he realizes we're going to worry about the material things, about revenue, about these things that we need for our sustenance. But I want us to look in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. You don't have to turn there. We see here about worrying, but I want to look what Paul went a little deeper about this revenue, about this material thing. In 1 Timothy 6 and 10, he says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And what the Lord laid on my heart this tonight, and I'm going to get off of this in a few minutes, but this revenue, this material gain, Christ realizes that we're going to worry about it. We're going to fret when things are not within our grasp and we can't get our hands on it. And that's one thing. But Paul wrote to Timothy and warned him that when that worry began to turn to worship and people begin to worship the things of this world, when the things that are, they are at one time their necessity and they're things that we can have, things that we can desire, things that are not sinful, they are not carnal, yet when it turns from a place of us wanting to get that, to barely get by and to survive, and Paul, he wanted to warn Timothy that the enemy will take us a step farther than that and get us in a place where that's all that consumes our mind is the material things of this life. The Bible let us know in one place that when a seed sprung up and the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this world, it choked out the Word of God. And I'm afraid in the day and hour we live in, we've got people among us in the house of God. They're so caught up in the fleshly things of this world, in the material gain, and what they can get. And it's taken our mind off of the heavenly view. It's taken our mind off the Lord. And every waking moment we're consumed with what can we get. We're consumed with things and we're consumed with stuff. But Christ told them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's crept in among us. We all like stuff. I heard Brother Rick preach a message one time. I don't know if he's ever preached it here. That when the Lord returned, it said, "Let him that's on the housetop not return in to take his stuff." And he preached one time. Maybe I shouldn't tell it. He may preach it, but I've done heard it. He preached on stumbling over the stuff. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of us have gotten to in the house of God. And I realize this may be different. There's not a whole lot of us. But I want to preach to us tonight what the Lord has laid on my heart. That there's things that's crept in that's taken our focus off of the Lord. It's a trick of the enemy tonight if he can get our mind clouded. Whether it's with worry or whether it's when we worship our work. And when we've got all of these other things we stack up in front of God. And then God goes down on the list of priority. And no longer is it a priority to be at the house of God. No longer is prayer a priority or reading the Word of God a priority. Our number one goal and priority a lot of times has become things, has become material, has become this world. But I want to lay my treasures up in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt or neither thieves break in and steal. I don't want to have a monument built on this earth. I don't need a castle on a hill. But if I can lay my treasures up yonder, if I can lay my treasures up in the glory world, and when I leave this walk of life, I'll have more over there than I will over here. I don't want to drive my tent stake so deep that when the Lord comes for me, I'm so attached to this world that I don't want to let go of it. I've heard them, well, it's just a weight or whatever, Brother James. I don't want to be so weighted down with the cares of this life that I can't get off the ground when Christ returns. I don't want to be so consumed with the carnal and with the material that I lose focus of the spiritual. Haggai chapter number 1, God speaking through the prophet Haggai. And the temple there had laid in ruins for years. There had been no house of worship. There had been no house of God. And it was time to begin the process of rebuilding the temple. And the Lord spoke to his people through the prophet Haggai, and he began to talk to him, and it was with a stern rebuke almost. He said, here you're living in your sealed houses, and you've got all of this stuff you've gathered together. And he says, my house was lying in ruins. What he was saying is you've been concerned about your stuff, and you've been gathering all of this together in your barns, and you've been building your houses, but the things of God have went unnoticed. And I'm afraid a lot of times that we're not careful, we'll be so busy with our stuff that we neglect the things of God, whatever it may be, whether it's the house of God or prayer or our Bible or reaching for the lost as the pastor preached, and we neglect the things of God to build our own kingdoms. But he told them, he said, you're doing this, but he said, you're sowing much. He said, you're reaping little. He said, you're drinking, but you're not being filled with drink. He said, you're doing all of these things. You're clothed, but you're not warm. You're putting your wages in bags with holes in them. What's he saying there? He's telling them that as long as you continue to put you first, as long as you continue to do what you want to do and live like you want to live and build your kingdom, then you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to prosper. It doesn't matter how hard you work, how fast you run, or how big you build. Until God is in his rightful place, there's no way a man can prosper. It may look like he's prospering. It got on David so bad, he said, when I seen the prosperity of the wicked, I almost slipped. I almost failed. But then I realized the end of it. And I realized they're not as prosperous as it seems. Show me a man that his number one priority is God. I'll show you somebody that's prosperous. I'll show you somebody that's got his priorities in order. I've been praying at the start of this new year, Brother James, I want to start off on the right foot. I'd like to get my priorities all lined out, that no matter what comes or what goes, that God is number one in my life. Above pleasure, above fun, above work, above financial gain, above anything in this life, I want him to be number one. If he's number one, Jesus said he'll add all these other things unto you. But it's when we're trying to add all these things unto us and he's not number one, it seems like they struggle. Have you ever seen anybody that they work 50, 60, 70 hours a week and they're wore out all the time? They're not faithful to God. And you think, man, they ought to be rolling in the money, but they're always struggling and battling and stressing and worrying. And you know, why is that the case? It's because when God is not first in somebody's life, he will block his blessings from that life. He will block the flow of the blessings of God. But you let somebody get in the will of God and let somebody get God in his rightful position, you can rest assured God's going to take care of them. You can rest assured God's going to bless them. Because Christ said, if I'm first, everything else will be in its place. But we've become so busy chasing the American dream, Brother James, that we've lost our heavenly vision. That all we see is we see out this way when we should be seeing up this way, and realizing the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And Brother Daniel, no matter how the saying, he who dies with the most toys wins. Have you ever heard that? That's not the case tonight. I've seen where he who dies with the most toys still dies, and then he's got to face the Lord. Brother Earl, I want to, when I leave this walk of life, I want God to have been number one in my life. We could preach on about that. That number two, recreation. In Genesis 2:2, the Lord God, the Bible said, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. It seemed like God instituted a break. It seemed like he instituted a place where just to chill out, just hold up, just get your bearings back in order. And I read on, and it seems like Brother Daniel, as he come down and he walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, it seems like to me that the Lord valued his time with his children. It seemed like he valued family time. And I know this is different, especially for me to be preaching, but it's what the Lord laid on my heart, that God put a high premium in the very beginning on a time set apart for him, on a time set apart for the family. But in the day and hour we live in, it seems people work at their play in a time where they should be setting aside for family and church and worship. They pull work over into it, and there's no time for anything, Brother James. And if they do get a break to go out and spend family time, it's so busy with appointments and things to do and places to go that there's no benefit at all. And we wonder why the divorce rate's at an all-time high, why it's crept in the churches, and families are struggling, and churches are battling, and teenagers are rebellious, and parents are going apart from one another. It's because we have got our priorities out of place. There was a time that God was first, and the family was second, but now that we're first, and the family's somewhere down here, and God's even lower, and everything's out of order that it should be. It's no wonder the world we live in is in chaos. It's no wonder the things that's going on are going on. But if we could ever get God back in his place, if we could ever get God back on the throne as Lord of our life, we'd see the blessings of God flow again. People, they don't have time for God. And if they don't have time for God, they're sure not going to have time for their own family. If you ever notice, you look around, go out. I know guys ain't into shopping as much or grocery shopping, but how many times, most of the time when you see a family out, a lot of times it's a wife and her children. She may still be married, but you most of the time you see them in separate groups. How many times do you see, and you still may do it, and we try to, but sit down together as a family or go somewhere together as a family. But look, next time you go to a store, next time you go out to a restaurant, a lot of times there's a group of men over here, and there's a women with children over here, and you wonder what happened to the family in America. You wonder what happened now to the family in the church, where a lot of times, and thank God it's not this way here, but they'll send the mama to church, they'll send the kids to church, and dad will go do his own thing, and then you wonder why they're having so much trouble. You wonder having such a hard time getting along and staying together and serving the Lord. Oh, I would to God we could get our priorities back in order, where it's God first, and then the family, and then whatever else you got to do. But until our priorities get in order, we'll never prosper. We'll never be blessed of the Lord. We'll never go any farther. Pleasures took the place of church. It used to be rest and relaxation, but now it's more rest and recreation. How many times on Sunday, this coming Sunday, you look out on the highways, how many trucks have got four-wheelers on them, and how many trucks have got tree stands and bass boats, Brother James, and all of these things that are wonderful, they're great things, but when it takes priority and precedence over God, then it becomes a stumbling block, and we must have our priorities in order. A buddy of mine I was talking to the other day, he's a great guy. He doesn't drink, he don't smoke. He very rarely hear him say a bad word. He's faithful to his wife. He's just a good old guy. But I got talking to him and said, man, you ought to come to church with me. This is what he said. He said, I just love my life. He said, I'm outdoors. He said, most of my racing, my dirt bike racing's on Sunday. And other times I'm working and I'm hunting. And I'm thinking, man, if you only realize how much more blessed your life would be if you would get God in the place he should be. But people are so consumed. The Bible said it would happen, that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'm afraid it's crept in, not just in the world, but into the church, where if we get time after we do everything else that we want to do, if it's still time for church, we'll go. If there's still time to pray, we'll pray. If there's still time to read, we'll read. But if not, then so be it. That's a miserable way to live, church. And oh, the closest I've ever been to God, and the time I felt the most joy in my life, was a time when I put Him before everything else. Brother James, that's where I'm at tonight. I want to get my priorities all lined out, that the blessings of God would flow in my life. It's no secret, it's very self-evident why the America and the morale is breaking down, because God is no longer the Lord over people. But it was that way in the Bible time, as Jesus told the parable where the man sent out invitations to the feast. And the Bible said they all with consent began to make excuse. Everybody had an excuse of why they couldn't tend to God's business. One of them said he'd married a wife and he couldn't come. He just left it there. The other one said that I bought a piece of land and I must go and work it. The other one began to talk about he had bought a team of oxen or something to that effect. And he said, I've got to go and prove them. It was his wife. It was their wealth and their work that kept them from the house of God. It kept them from enjoying the blessings of God. What did he do? Did he shut the whole program down? Did he go to house and say, well, I guess I'm just going to throw the food out? No, he went and found somebody that was willing to drop what they was doing at a moment's notice. They didn't have an invitation for a week ahead of time. There wasn't an RSVP. There wasn't a please respond by such and such. He said, come, and they dropped everything they was doing. They said, the master's business is more important than my business. I would to God tonight, you talk about a church that would be a powerhouse. You talk about a family the devil couldn't tear apart. You show me one that's got God at the top of the list, and that's one the devil can't do anything with. But it's that one that God's just, it's really just a nonchalant kind of, I'm just going, hey, the fact of the matter is that you cannot go to heaven if God is not in His rightful place. That's real tight, and it's tight on me just like it is you. But unless God is number one, unless God is at the top, Brother James, there's no way we can get to heaven when heaven's the last thing on our mind. You can't make me believe people's minds are on heaven because they're living like they're living. People not faithful, people doing what they want to do. If God was number one in our life, there would be a faithfulness that followed. There would be a looking to. There would be a watching and a waiting. There would be a fervency in our life that said, God, above everything else, I got to please You. I got to walk right before God. When you love somebody, you go out of your way to make them happy. When they're the most important thing in your life, you go out of your way, you sacrifice yourself to please them. But it's very evident in the day and hour we live in the church that God's not number one anymore. Because now, when it comes time for sacrifice, there's very few that show up. When it's time for dinner, that's great. We'll have a packed out house when it's homecoming. But when it gets down, Brother James, and it's time for sacrifice, when God calls for something, as He told that one man, he said, Lord, I want to follow You. And He said, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. That's all I read right there, Brother Earl. That seemed like that was the end of the story. It seemed like as long as there's fishes and loaves, as Brother James says so often, that they're eager to follow the Lord. But when it got in a pinch and it got in a crunch time, when God says, now you must deny yourself. And if any man follow me, he let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The song changed, then the story changed. When he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Christ said, you know the commandments, keep them. He said, Lord, I've done all them. He was proud of himself, and he was to be commended in that. But when Christ laid out the sacrifice, that go, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, the Bible said he went away sorrowful, for he had much possessions. I believe that's why Christ said it hard. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to go to heaven. Is it impossible? No. But the day and hour we live in, people can't handle the blessings of God. A lot of people, they let it go to their head, and God blessed them with all of it. And the first person they want to cut out of the deal is God. They want to miss the house of God. They don't want to fellowship with God. They don't want to read God's word. And when God's the one that gave them all of it to start with. Jesus called a man like that a fool. I don't go around calling, but Christ is the man, and God had blessed his fields. God had blessed every work of his hand. And he said, this will I do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. There was no sin in that at all. There's no sin in him being wealthy. There was no sin in him expanding. But I don't know why in the world people, when they get involved in the materialistic realms of this world and they get consumed with gain, there wasn't any reason in the world for him to even make the statement he made. He didn't have to say that, Brother James. He didn't have to say, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. There was no need at all for him to even go there. But something about a man that's not got God at top, when things get prosperous and when he gets all of this around him, he wants to look at himself. What can I get? And when we're looking at that, Brother Daniel, when it's all about me, we're going to have to cut God out, because it cannot be all about me and all about God at the same time. There's no way. It can't happen. Some of you that, I know Sister Eloise, some of the different ones that remember Joe that we prayed with for so long. We prayed with her, Brother Earl. You remember over here. We prayed all night. I think I left here at 4:30 in the morning. She come back the next night. She was possessed with several devils. She come back the next night. They wanted us to pray again. And Brother Steve, all of us gathered right here and prayed for her. As Brother Steve, it was dragging on and it was getting monotonous and things were just going. And Brother Steve began to talk directly to that spirit and commanded, as Christ did, what is thy name? And she mumbled something, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Brother Steve said, what'd you say? And this little frail little girl, little woman, she said, never there. That was all she said, never there. It seemed kind of odd till after it was all over. We talked to her husband, and she said she had such hatred and such bitterness toward her father because all he ever cared about was work, and he was never there for her. She had been messed with as a child. She had been neglected. She had everything she wanted materially, but her father was never there. And that spirit had gotten in her of hatred. And I'm afraid in the day and hour we live in, that there's families that's going their separate ways. And the kids don't know what it is to be a family. And the family don't know what it is to be a church. Because we've dropped God off somewhere along the line. As Mary and Joseph, when they got a couple days journey, they looked around and the Bible said, supposing him to have been in the company. They figured Jesus was just tagging along because that was where he was supposed to be. But they had failed, Brother James, in their leaving. They had failed to take Jesus with them. And I'm afraid that's where we're at in the day and hour we live in. We're going about our merry way. And we just think he's there because he's always been there. The Bible said Samson wist not that he had departed. I want to have him first, Brother James, because if he's first, I'll be able to see him. Because Peter, he followed afar off. And he lost sight of Christ. I don't want that to happen to me. The third thing I want to preach about for just here a little while is religion. Revenue, recreation, and religion. People play at their worship. Christ said, he was talking in Matthew. Let me turn back to it. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Christ, the way he could do it begins to talk about a people, Brother James, that they drew nigh unto him with their lips, but he said, their heart is far from me. Isn't that where we're at in the church today, where people come in, Brother James? If we can ever get them there, when they get through with the material gain and they get through with their pleasure, if we can ever get to the house of God, most of the time it's only lip service. A lot of times we come to the house of God, and as him being down on the list as far as he is, we come in, we may lift our hand, but for the most part it's come and sit and go through a ritual and go through emotion. You wonder why you don't have a move of God. Wonder why you struggle with temptation and struggle with sin and struggle to stay with your head above the water. Could it be tonight that God is not in his proper place? Could it be tonight? Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. I believe tonight if we got him in his place, church, there's no telling what could happen. God cannot go against his word, and he cannot bless a people that will not put him in his rightful position. In Revelation 3, Jesus speaking there to the seven churches in Asia Minor, come down to Ephesus. It's amazing to me that people could be doing so good and so bad at the same time. Because first, before he ever gave them a reprimand, he told them, he said, I know thy works. I know that thou canst not stand. You don't take the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You do all of these things. You pay your tithes. You all of these things. And Christ went on down and he said, but you've left your first love. Brother James, they was doing all of that because they knew that's what they were supposed to do. And it wasn't because they loved the Lord with all of their heart. And I'm afraid in the church world today, I know I've been guilty. You may never have. But get so busy and get so caught up and so tied up. And then I come to church and it's just, we're just here. But that's not the will of God tonight, church. The Bible said, enter in his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Come into his presence with singing. I believe it's the will of God tonight at the start of a new year and we could get our priorities back in order and come into the house of God and have a move of the Holy Ghost. There's no way we can ever expect to have a genuine reviving or a move of the Holy Ghost until we come in with a mind to worship. Acts chapter 2, they were there. They were in one place with one accord. Brother James, they had one thing on their mind. Peter wasn't worried about fishing no more. Matthew wasn't worried about collecting taxes anymore. They were worried about one thing, and that was staying there till they were endued with power. And I don't know about you, but as for me, personally, myself, me in my own prayer life and in my own devotion, I don't know, but I am tired, Brother James, of the lethargy. I'm tired in my own prayer life, Brother Daniel, of going through the same old, same old. I've been praying the last couple of days, God, I want to change. I want to get my priorities in order like they should be. And when I get on my knees before God, and he'll open the windows of heaven, and the power of God will move in my life. When I preach, he anoints me. When I pray, he would anoint me. When I would worship, he would bless me. That's where I want to be at, Brother Larry Wayne. I hate boring preaching. I hate dead preaching. And worse than I hate listening to dead preaching, I hate when I get up to preach, Brother James, and I'm scratching around, and I can't figure out where to go, and I can't get everything in order. But it's something about it, Brother Hurl, when the Holy Ghost comes down and begins to anoint and begins to bless. You know how it is, church, when you get out to pray, there's those times you can't get a prayer through. There's those times you can't think of nothing to say, and you're saying a bunch of stuff and you ain't getting there. But there's those times when you've got everything else out of the way and you've cleared a path. And when your knees touch the floor, the Holy Ghost comes down and begins to move on you. Singers, you know what it is. When you get up to sing and you fumble through the songbook and you can't find anything. But then that one time you get up to sing, you got the song. And as soon as they hit the key, the Holy Ghost begins to sweep through the place. That's what I'm interested in, church. That's the kind of church I want to have. That's the kind of prayer life I desire to have. One that is on fire. I don't know. And I still believe in Pentecost. I still believe in holiness and Pentecost. It all goes hand in hand, Brother Earl, that a people that will have a Pentecostal experience, we must have God in his rightful place. Those disciples, when the Holy Ghost come on them, they had God in his place. Anytime that I read where God began to move in the Old Testament, as Elijah on the Mount Carmel, as he was praying for God to come down, the first thing he had to do was set everything in order. He had to build the altar. He had to prepare the sacrifice. And when he got everything in its proper place, that's when the fire fell. I think a lot of times we're guilty of trying to sidestep a few of the steps, Brother James. You ever put anything together out of a box and you knew how it, you seen the picture, you knew how it was supposed to look, so you just started going, you started building to the picture? It never seems to work out right for me. It seems like I have to, more times than not, have to take stuff back apart, get out the book, and go step by step. But I think spiritually a lot of times we know what's supposed to happen in a Pentecostal holiness church. We know about the Spirit of God moving, Brother Daniel. We know about the singing and the preaching and the shouting and the worshiping. So we try to go from nothing to something. We try to go from sitting here just going about our own merry way. We try to jump right over into having a move of the Holy Ghost. Church, it'll never work that way. It will not happen. That is what we call charismatic. We slam on them and we talk about them, but that is what they're doing. They're trying to skip all the in between part. But I believe tonight, if we'd get our heart in order, if we'd get our house in order, if we get our priorities in order, that it's God first. Everything that pertains to God, church still pertains to God. Bible reading still pertains to God. Church attendance, all of these things pertains to God. And we get that first, and then we get our family all involved in it. And we come to the house of God with a mind to worship, not a mind to pick, not a mind to worry, not a mind to thinking about the next day and tomorrow, but a mind that, God, we got to have a move of God. We got to have the Holy Ghost. The preacher has been preaching about winning the lost. Brother, it'd be a shame to fill this place up with lost people and there not be enough power of God between us to get them forgiven of their sin. That'd be a shame that the Bible talked about that when Zion travailed, she'd give birth, she'd bring forth children. But what about if we got up to that place and we realized that we didn't have everything set in order, and the drunkard leaves addicted to alcohol, and the family that's on the verge of breaking apart, they leave and go down to the courthouse to finish it off. What about that young person that's hanging on by a thread, that the world's pulling on, and they come to the house of God needing to feel the presence of God, and all they feel is a dead dryness. It's been that way for years. But how would it be if they come to the house of God and they felt the Holy Ghost sweep through the place and let them know there's nothing in the world that'll ever feel like the Holy Ghost? That man that comes in and he's on the verge of committing suicide, Brother Daniel. And he comes in looking for hope. He comes in needing to feel the presence of God. But he leaves feeling let down. And he leaves realizing that what I heard about holiness and what I heard about Pentecost must have changed. I don't want it to be that way here. I don't want it to be that way in my life. I don't want it to be like the, and I'm hurrying to close. I don't want to be like in Acts chapter number 19 when those seven sons of Sceva, that they were religious men. They knew about all the religion, but when they tried to cast out the devil, they didn't have the power. And the devil made a shame out of them. He made a laughing stock out of them. Is not that what he's doing to a lot of churches in the day and hour we live in? He's made them a laughing stock. He's made them a place where people look and they ride by and they shake their head and they say there's not enough of power of God in there to do anything. But I believe tonight if we'd get God back up on his throne and realize he must be first above everything else, I believe, Brother Daniel, at the start of this new year, there is no telling what God would do with this church. I'll tell this, as Sabrina Hope come get us a song. We went to watch night service the other night, Brother John Isaacs. And I heard Brother Rick talk a lot about Brother Scotty Groom. I had met him. And I've heard story after story after story about what a praying man he is, Brother James. That he's one of them, if he calls you and tells you something, that you might as well go ahead and plan on it. I mean, if he called me and told me I was going to die, Brother James, I'd go down and pick out a casket. That's how much And I'm not just putting him on a pedestal, but he's got God first in his life. He was preaching the other night, and he was talking about Brother Rick and how long he had known him. How he walked by him casually and made a statement and said, "I believe you're doing good up there at Summit, and the church is going to grow." And it was kind of casual, and he walked on, but then he stopped, and he turned back, and he looked at him, and he said, "It's going to grow." He said, "I said it was going to grow. Brother James, I felt the Holy Ghost run all over me." Why? Because a man said it? Not necessarily. It was a man that's got God first, and God gave him a word and said, "The church is going to grow." I don't know about you, but I want to be ready when it happens. I want to be part of it. I don't want to have to pray through myself and then go over here and try to help somebody. I want to come in carrying the word of God and realizing that He's first in my life, and then I can be able to help somebody else. Stand with me all over the house. There's been too many times in my life, younger, especially as a late teenager. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't tell this. Maybe it's too transparent, but there's been a lot of times I walked in, I seen certain people in the house I knew was demon-possessed. I eased out and went over and prayed for a little while. I may be the only one that's guilty of that. I don't know. But Brother Daniel, has something about it. When I was in my early 20s, late teenage years, Brother James, there was such a battle there. There was such a pull there to keep God number one in my life. And it still is a lot of times, but God's helped us. But I would ease that because I knew Sister Eloise like I would right that second. I may have not been able to combat what I needed to combat. But when I got in the presence of God and the Holy Ghost began to move on me, I knew that God was in me and He was first. And whatever come, He will see us through it. I don't know about you tonight, church, but on this second day of the new year, I'd like to line everything up in order that when God starts pouring on the blessings, when God starts sending them, I want to already be ready, Brother Daniel. I don't want to have to go over here and get, I want to already be ready. As we come and pray, the Bible said, "Set thine house in order." I know He's talking to a man, telling him he's about to die, but I feel like that's the cry of the Lord tonight. Set thine house in order. Set thine church in order. To get ready for a move of God, to have a move of God, God must be first. He'll never bless a people to the full extent that He could bless them if He's not first.
Someone asked me, "When you grow up, what would you like to be? A doctor, a lawyer, a president, or a slogan with your name on a shiny marquee?" I remember what Daddy once told me. No matter what in this world you may be, there's no glory in being one of a million. So stand up and be one of His chosen few. I want to be one who's found ready. When I hear the trumpet sound, I want to be one He can depend on. When there's no one else around, I want to be one that He looks on, that's faithful and true. I don't want to be one in a million, just one of the chosen few. You may be a man of great virtue, you may possess the wealth of a king, and you may simply be one of a million searching for the American dream. But soon my Lord is coming, and that's one thing I know is true. He's not coming back for all those million. He'll be coming back chosen few. I want to be one who's found ready. When I hear the trumpet sound, I want to be one He can depend on. When there's no one else around, million, just one of the chosen few. Not long ago, someone asked me, when you grow up, what would you like to be? A doctor, a lawyer, a president, or a slogan with your name on a shiny marquee. I remember what Daddy once told me. No matter what in this world you may be, there's no glory in being one of the million. So stand up and be one of the chosen. Ready when I hear the trumpet sound, I wanna be one he can depend on. When there's no one else around, I wanna be one that he looks on, that's faithful and true. I don't wanna be in a million, just one of the chosen few. Ready when I hear the trumpet sound, I wanna be one he can depend on. When there's no one else around, I wanna be one that he looks on, that's faithful and true. I don't wanna be one million, just one of the chosen few. You may be 100.